right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
Major public service.
That's vital. People need it.
You know what's amazing? I would contest whether or not they need it.
No, I don't think anybody needs it. Frankly,
no.
I a very real part of me wishes that it were illegal.
TLE?
The news generically. I think in a lot of ways, it's borderline unethical to tell people information that takes place more than like 50 miles away from where they were born.
You know, and in so many ways, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, I think it's atrocious. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
The first minute of the show, just demolishing the purpose of the show, the intended purpose of the show, to inspire. To inform.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you want to use the first part of any public speaking engagement to remind your audience that in a more just world, you would be machine gunned into a ditch.
God, is that true? God, is that true?
I mean, that's my first thought every time that a TED Talk starts, right?
That's so true. That's a good tagline. That's a good way to think about TLE. If you feel that you need this, you should be killed.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted, the TEDx boxcar series. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. It is a goal of mine to get on the TEDx.
It's, yeah. Yeah. You know, you have a podcast. Why wouldn't you be on a TEDx? Like TEDx is like,
yeah, that's true.
It's so lowbrow.
It's like anybody can do a TEDx.
Yeah. If you're like if you're like an adjunct professor at like, you know, like the 390th ranked regionally accredited university, you know, you get like a 4-minute TEDx talk and
I am more famous than the person you just described.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Yeah. Non-ironically. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You're right. I could probably set that up. Don't you think that would be kind of a legendary event?
I think it would be if you did like a TEDx about Little Amal or something like that.
Oh,
see, that'd be good for the
I'm
show.
Thinking all the boys are going to be under the roof there. Like if I announce that I'm doing a TEDx, I do expect people to fly to it.
Yeah.
And I know people would. It would be a huge event.
Little Amal herself might even come through.
That's true. We might have Little Amal news. Okay. Well, speaking of that, Lee, I appreciate you joining me on the show today to do some news.
Yeah.
The listeners are going to be confused. They're going to be befuddled. They're going to be saying, where is Carr Campit? This has been 2 weeks since we've heard from Carr Campit. He's on his RV trip. He's enjoying himself greatly. He's doing just fine. I've corresponded with him daily, and he's quite well. He'll be returning once his RV trip through Mexico concludes. That people were amazed that Mexico let him back in, given the previous, we're calling it the Mexico incident.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the left hand doesn't know what the right, like, because his previous incident was involving the Navy. You know, it was a naval incident.
It was a marine incident.
It was
correct?
A marine incident.
a nautical problem.
Right. And I'm wondering if, because this is a land-based venture, that maybe the bureaucracy you know, didn't stop him from coming into the country.
And so, in so many words, you're saying that you believe he may have snuck across the southern border.
Yeah, I think it's
going possible. In the other way. Do you think anybody's going that way?
not people like Carr. I think
not minor ministers of their own micronation within the United States. Certainly not.
No, certainly not. He's I am fully anticipating that this will be like a Motorcycle Diaries experience for him. You know what I mean?
Like a Jack Kerouac sort of reflection on the journey.
He's going to come back and Carcadia is going to take a notably communist route forward.
Oh, you think he's on like a vision quest?
Maybe. He may become disillusioned with the plight of the rural Mexican countryside and come back and take a take a Che Guevara approach.
Yeah, like a right. And around about the 1800s, we had all of those revolutions in South America where if you were a European guy with nothing to do, you'd head down to Brazil and you'd fight for them. You're thinking maybe we could see a car camp at Zapatista type of thing.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, you mentioned it. I have to say I like this theme because you mentioned this on your episode with Jay last week about that. If you're a young man, frankly, you should be going into Central and South America and fighting military engagements.
Yes, that's what imperial men need to do.
Yeah, and spiritually, despite his sunny disposition, Carr is very empirical. Gentleman, right? I mean, he's
of course he comes from a long line of mercenary. Right.
He's participated in at least one regatta. So what's that's
we know of?
that's an aristocratic pursuit. We know that he's at least 6 feet tall.
He's a landed noble.
Yep, he owns land. He currently is the head of state for a small enclave in the American
I believe he
South.
Calls himself the Duke of Carcadia, by the way. implying there is a regal title above him that tells him what to do.
And that's probably his like super ego that is pushing him into South America undoubtedly to participate as a mercenary in some type of superfluous military engagement.
So you think this is this trip through Mexico is more than it seems, basically.
I hope so, yeah.
We think we may never hear from Carr Camput again, at least on the show. He may be, there may be a story about him going forward.
that would be a very legendary way of ending like your online presence. Just saying that you're taking an RV and disappearing into the third world.
One day we'll see you on a drone video of somebody dropping a bomb on you. He's praying in a dugout somewhere and a Mexican drone drops a bomb full of beans on him.
Right. When Barack Hussein Obama retakes office in 2024,
absolutely.
Carr Camput is going to be the singular American citizen killed without a warrant by a Reaper drone.
Jesus. In a Michelle Obama regime, this is very possible.
It really is. Yeah, wow. In fact, there's a huge upside potential for drone strikes by Michelle Obama to be called. Mic drops.
Yeah, Jesus. Mic drops. Hell yeah, dude.
Sorry for that, listeners. This episode is going to be very, very much worse than the normal Taylor experience.
You know he would name, you know that Michael would name the two planes that drop the bombs over him, they would name them after the daughters. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's a Malia there, and there's another one. Nobody knows the other one's name.
Yeah. It's just like a,
a tribal name. a decolonized name.
Right.
Dude, Barack Obama is colonized, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I got no respect. I don't have any respect for, as a black man myself, I can't personally say that I have any respect for Barack Obama and his colonized way of thinking.
No, he's like the only like black guy who studies and enthusiastically believes in postmodern philosophy.
I thought you were gonna say he's the only black guy who leaves a tip.
Well, let's not.
That's where it all changes.
Yeah, let's not go too far. Yeah.
He started by tipping his driver just a little, just a few dollars to see how he would feel about it.
Right. Yeah. 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 He
different
asks,
than back home.
Yeah, that's why the letters.
Usually,
he
I just bark
his...
at the guy and tell him where to go, and then I jump out.
His letters to his college girlfriend is like, you know, daily. I fantasize about leaving a 20% tip.
That'll never leave my psyche. Are the letters about talking about how gay his daily thoughts are?
It's such an alpha move to write a love letter to your white girlfriend and be like, yeah, I'm really thinking about fucking some guys in the ass.
fucking some guys.
That's just where I'm at, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's how it was in the '80s. If you want, that's how it was in the '80s for guys like Barack.
Yeah, you had to be a little bit on the down low.
Yeah, like new gay guys. Think about that in the '80s, and we may even be talking seventies, but in that era, kind of the new gay guy had really recently dropped.
That's true.
And Barack was trying to figure out if that was for him.
Yeah, just dabbling a little bit, trying it on for size.
He's really is a man of the 80s. He really is.
Yeah, he is.
In a lot of ways. And so is his wife.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's no better way to do this than I'm just going to... Shocking, shocking developments today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's a somber day. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Fisheries Services is offering a $20,000 reward for information leading to the capture of the person who shot a dolphin to death on the beach last month in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. The juvenile bottlenose dolphin was found with multiple bullet wounds, bullets lodged in the brain of the dolphin, the spinal cord of the dolphin, and the heart of the dolphin. Out there in Louisiana, from what they say, he was in the wrong coral patch, and the dolphin lost his life. It's a devastating discovery. This is a protected species. Hunting them, harassing them, even feeding them, any attempts to do anything, fighting gang wars against them, is prohibited under the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
It's
violations can be both civilly or criminally punishable by up to $100,000 in fines and up to 1 year in jail. And we're asking ourselves, when will the violence against our children stop?
This is a tough news story to speculate about because
the county is usually not like this.
On, you know, the first half of it is like a heinous act of gun violence in Louisiana. And you're like, oh, I have some thoughts about that.
Yeah.
And then the second half is like, but it was in the ocean.
Yeah. This is how they get the white people to care.
You're like, wait a minute.
They tell them that a dolphin caught a couple of strays when two hoodlums were shooting at one another across from kayaks.
Yeah.
Two Somali pirates.
I mean,
the guys on shore are looking at it through binoculars and going, huh, I didn't know the Somali pirate migration pattern was this time of year. I didn't know they were here.
Yeah, the dolphin probably tried to fight back when it was being mugged. And
the dolphin was walking with his girlfriend late at night when he was approached by a Somali pirate. He tried to reason with him at first, and then he was killed, and now his girlfriend... Insta posts on Twitter for likes from all kinds of men.
Yeah. I mean,
and they're saying the crustacean authorities aren't going to do anything about it.
No, they're not. If they even found a guy, they would probably just let him out without bail, right, or something like that. You know?
That's right. Old Neptune is an anarcho tyrant.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about shooting dolphins?
It's repugnant to me.
Yeah. I'm not firmly against it, to be honest.
Really? A bottlenose dolphin? You're not firmly against capping them?
No. In fact, I've been in a position where I could have shot a dolphin.
Are you several, really?
Oh, yeah. Several times
several
in my
positions.
Life. Several times in my life, I've been within 3 feet of a dolphin, and I've also been in possession of a handgun at the same time.
You've been drawn down on a dolphin.
Well, so they're, if you kayak fish, you know, they will fuck your day up. Because
is that right?
Yeah, they're predators, obviously, and so they... You know, if you're out fishing and dolphins come up to you on your kayak, which they will.
Do not roll the windows down.
just look straight ahead. And,
they're going to tap. Do not move your head when they do. Do not move your head when they tap on the window. Yeah,
they scare off all the game fish from the area, obviously. So right away. They fuck up like what you're fishing for because everything leaves when dolphins show up, right. And you're never, you know, it takes forever to like get away from them because you're paddling a stupid kayak and they're
right
like a killing machine meant for being in the water. A
super predator, really.
They really are, and it's really annoying. And they'll kind of like follow you around a little bit. And I always keep a gun on me when I'm out on the water, and so a lot of times it's like, man, like you really think you have the upper hand here, don't you? Like, you smug bitch, I should put a 357 right into that fat fucking
brain.
And that's
a crime, and that is a big time crime in America.
It's
a big time crime in America to do that. Yeah
Right, but like, you know, I just
castle doctrine on international waters, you know.
No, there should be like a stand your kayak law where
Do you think that that's the most reasonable possibility, is that somebody was kayaking and was annoyed with a dolphin and just marked it?
I think that it's in the top three.
Top three
of things that could have happened.
And
honestly,
where does my gang violence analogy place on the top three? Is it above, below?
I would like to know what caliber these bullets were. Like,
great question.
If they're recovering like 40 caliber slugs from this dolphin.
We would be able to know if 44 other slightly injured dolphins also showed up in the same place.
Right. Yeah. This is sailor's law, except
couple,
it's like,
yeah. This is the swimmer's law.
Yeah, the traditional spelling of sailor. Yeah.
Yes, sailor. Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. It doesn't say anywhere in the investigation the caliber, anything of the sort. They haven't named the perpetrator, you know? It is all very fishy.
Nice.
It really is.
Yeah. 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 It, you know, I'm not saying that it's good per se. I'm just saying that I could see how it would happen.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and here's the thing that people really don't want to talk about is there is oceanic gentrification going on, and these dolphins are being kind of pushed out of the neighborhoods where they're supposed mm-hmm. to be, and they're finding themselves having to move into maybe neighborhoods where there will be increasing conflict with
right.
sailors, swimmers, nautical folk.
And yeah.
That's the natural consequences of... Really, I mean, this goes all the way back to the Industrial Revolution, right? I mean...
Yeah, there's going to be an uptick. Yeah. There's going to be an uptick in violence against dolphins.
It really started under the Obama administration is when things really started to change, where we thought we made progress against dolphin violence. And it's just really taken a wrong turn since then. It's really taken a wrong turn. Oh, this is interesting to me. It is currently Wednesday at noon, and everybody listening forgot about the guy who burned himself to death just a few days ago.
Yes.
So that was pretty interesting. Did you get a chance to read up on his character, the guy's character?
It just briefly, because I find this sort of thing extremely boring. He seemed to be some type of generic upset guy, right? Like that was my mm-hmm. takeaway. It was just that he's the type of guy who you don't want to be in like the work break room with, because it's just annoying. Like if you were like, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, how's it going? You know, Ted or what? I don't know the guy's name.
Max.
Max. Okay. Like if you were like, Max, like, do you have a good weekend, buddy? And be like, oh, they're using us as tax cattle. I was like, all right, man. Like, yeah, they are.
It's like a quarter of the people I interact with on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay, you know, sure. Anything, you see any good movies lately? Like, yeah, man, right. They're going to, there's whatever. They're going to genocide us. It's like, okay, dude.
Are you over the FEMA camp discussion?
Yeah, I'm over it in the sense that this is the thing. I feel like lately it's not that I disagree with any of these things or think that even they're untrue. I'm just beyond talking about it. I just,
mm-hmm.
it's like, just let it happen. If you know,
you're waiting for it to happen. You're prepared. You feel prepared
mentally,
knowledgeable of the subject.
Yeah. I feel like further, you know, much discussion about it is just, it becomes repetitive, and it's like, yeah, okay. Maybe the government is planning on, putting people in FEMA camps and, doing like a mass extinction thing or something. Maybe, but that's kind of like that. You just put a period at the end of that. And that's as far as I feel like it goes. And it strikes me as so, ridiculous that, you know, like I said, my reaction to that is to just say, well, you know, maybe. And some people's reaction
is to set
themselves on
fire. Do you feel like your time is insulted?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone starts here. Here's what he wrote. This is a part of his manifesto. My name is Max Azzarello. And this is the thing, Lee. He was one of ours.
Sure.
And I do feel that with the Mediterranean man comes a tendency for over-exaggeration.
Yeah.
And it isn't. Here's the thing. I've wanted to light myself on fire a number of times in my life to make a statement. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I have to say, before reading this, I really do think I tweeted this out. I really do think lighting yourself on fire is absolutely cooked. No pun intended. I think the method of lighting yourself on fire is so way over, beyond over. It would almost be as if, you know, you wanted to get a message out about something. Say you have your pet cause that you really want to get your message out. So you entered a hot dog eating contest. You would think if I told you, okay, I have a, I'm a pro Palestine guy, to get the word out, I'm going to go to a hot dog eating contest. You'd say to me, what's the connection? Why do you think that winning the hot dog contest would get, you know, would help you be an activist in your cause? And I would have already left to go and eat the hot dogs. And that's what it feels like when you're lighting yourself on fire. It seems like everybody has agreed. And this is shocking to me in a sense that this is very boring, that it's a very boring method.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably a couple factors to that. Like number one is that it's been done. Okay.
Yes. Not new.
No. Not unique. And it's also like when the Buddhist guy in Vietnam lit himself on fire.
Dick Quang Duck.
Yeah.
Thick Quang Duck. That was his name. I don't know. I always remember his name was Thick Quang Duck.
Thick Wang?
No. Is that real? Wait. I got to check now.
I don't know.
Asian guy who burned himself to death for Vietnam. Thick Quang Duck. I was right. Let's go. Yeah, let's fucking go. Yeah, he burned himself to death. And
I just assume that that guy was Buddhist, though, or something like one of those Eastern
religions.
He
was indeed. He was Buddhist.
Right. You know, to my knowledge, which is I stopped thinking about this topic in like ninth grade in the 20 minutes that it was presented to me. As far as I understand, a lot of those types of religions are based on some type of like nonviolence and like you know, not attacking other people or something, some nonsense like that.
Sure.
So it kind of like, if one, he was like the first guy in the, I guess, the contemporary era to do this, at least famously. You know, maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't care. But
did you know that he did it because he hated Catholics?
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the
Irish.
Nguyen
Diem was a Catholic, staunch Roman Catholic, South Vietnamese government. And you know, the CIA assassinated him because he was actually going to make a breakthrough. And this whole Mr. Duck basically burned himself to death because he hated the fact that there was a Roman Catholic in government. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Chick fans obliterated. Obliterated by this man.
Chick tracks scorched. That's yeah. Burnt duck.
Yeah.
That's you know, but he's like the first guy to do this, and it's his religion presumably prevents him from attacking other people.
Right.
So when I see like Americans doing this, it's like, what are you, you know, you could, you know, you can kill people. You can attack people. This is an American tradition. Like, I think the idea, if you feel strongly enough about something to set yourself on fire over it, I think you probably also feel strongly about it to at least set four or five other people on fire over
four or five other villains. Yeah. Villains.
Yeah. And
guys who deserve it.
Right. Yeah. Not like innocent bystanders, but like if you're,
unless they deserve it too, you know,
which they might, you know, like that's a whole nother question. What, you
not
know.
Advocating for this, just no. Saying this is the way of things.
Right. And, you know, who among us is really innocent?
And
you know,
that's
just,
true. We're all born with that. We're all
I'm
born
just,
that way.
Yeah. Just spitballing here, not encouraging any type of fire-based activity.
No.
But I am saying that I think it's corny when someone sets themselves on fire in like a protest sense, especially because the Donald Trump thing, like you're setting yourself on fire outside of Donald Trump's trial in New York, and he is on trial for allegedly
being the coolest.
Allegedly misrepresenting an accounting entry
Yes.
Right. Like this is about there's no question of him like committing some heinous violent crime or something. Like this mm-hmm. is a procedural case hinged on whether or not his business entries in his ledger were fully representative of the facts, or whether he was you know fudging not even the numbers, just what the money was for slightly.
Right.
And if
he was fudging Stormy Daniels.
Well, that's the thing, is that at the end of the day, like, this crime is ultimately him having sex with someone who has sex with people for money, which is, of course, an unethical thing to do. This is not, you know, I think that's a bad thing to do. However, mm-hmm. I don't think it rises to the threshold of setting myself on fire because I heard about it, which is kind of what this guy did. Like, this isn't...
Well, do you think it actually... I assumed he did it at that event because it had a lot of eyes on it.
Maybe. Maybe this is like... I don't think like a guy who wants to set himself on fire. And so maybe in my simple brain, like I just assumed that because it was proximal to this trial, mm-hmm. that it was, you know, related to the trial.
At first, that's what I thought as well.
Maybe it's just a guy who wanted to see an audience and set himself on fire.
It's very ugly.
It's ultimately setting yourself on fire is a way of raising awareness, which is one of the gayest, fakest concepts of all time.
Again, so right.
And
so right.
It's like setting this yourself on fire is the equivalent of like retweeting yourself a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm. 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 Shamelessly retweeting yourself over and over again.
Because it's like you've already said what you're going to say, right? He already recorded his little Instagram stuff. Right. And now that didn't get the response that he wanted. So he wants more engagement. So he's just going to, you know, quite literally, you know, set it on fire. He's going to boost his own post by setting himself on fire.
It is a form of something I've been concerned about for a long time with the psyche of the average American. It's a form of interaction gooning.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. This is the
highest level of gooning.
This is like Plato's goon cave.
It is.
Because
you are the fire casting the shadow.
Right. Exactly.
And the shadow is your legacy.
Yeah, because in true gooning fashion, it's auto, right? Like you are the one doing this to yourself. It's true platonic goon cave maxing.
Pure self-destruction. It's the opposite of messianic. It turns people's eyes away. People don't want to see it. It's disgusting.
Right.
I don't know. Because I am a morbid, I have a morbid curiosity.
Sure.
And I don't think I'm the only person like this, but I watched every video of every angle that I could. And there's one video, you know, if this makes you squeamish, just skip ahead 35 seconds. There's one video where his white singed flesh arises from out of the pluming inferno that he's created on himself. And you can see it's his arm, and his arm stretched out and it looks like an uncooked piece of chicken. It's like pinkish, and you could tell there's not a human in his body anymore. And I saw the arm and it just starts twitching. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the gay shot. That's what made it gay.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to you before about I wouldn't want to necessarily stand up for many things that might get me killed because I might be on video falling in a gay way when they hit me down.
Yeah, that's something every man fears.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you have a lot of these videos are going around of like women being attacked by strangers in the streets and there are people watching. And they don't do anything, and people are now they're in an uproar like, why aren't men defending women anymore? And a lot of the conclusions are because men are turning away, you know, because this is the lot that women have created for themselves. And I just think it's because there are so many eyes now on any possible situation that if I lose in the 1950s, if I would lose a fight against a a stranger or a brute in the street trying to protect a damsel, right. I would just lose the fight and probably lose my wallet or something in response and probably take an injury. Today, 10 million people will see how gay I fell.
Yeah, that's that. I think you're 100% correct. I actually, I think that's perfect. Like, I reject the premise of, nobody wants to stand up for women because you'll get in trouble. That's I don't think that's it at all.
No,
I think you're exactly correct. I think most guys know that when, you know, there's a crackhead who is having some type of strange, what's the term that the shit libs use for these, like a mental health crisis?
A mental health crisis,
like
a, right.
Like they're undergoing houselessness or something, yeah. Something like
houseless
that.
Houseless stranger has mental health crisis.
Right.
Why did this happen? The article asks and comes to no conclusion by the end of the article.
Yeah. The final line is, of course, like, ultimately, all that, you know, Tyreek Rius Daquan Jackson III did was hold a mirror up to you,
Lee,
dear reader.
That doesn't sound like a dolphin's name.
poor Pisha.
Sharkisha. It is great with dolphin names that you can just kind of add a couple of recognizable suffixes to the end.
Just, yeah, going out for bottlenose service and just, yeah.
The Spotify filter is getting very suspicious as it reads these words. But it's not sure what to do yet.
Yeah, right.
This one might have to go through manual review. Yeah. TLE banned from Spotify for dolphin humor.
Yeah. I do think you're right, though, because it's no one wants to be on video. Like, what, think about that guy, the socialist guy who got stabbed in the chest by that guy while his girlfriend was like, watching. You're like,
Yes. Yeah.
And he looked so homo because, first of all, like, you can,
it's unfortunate.
You can take one look at the guy and know that he's about to stab you. Like, as soon as you see that guy, it's like, look, buddy, like, you could be as ideologically socialist as you want to, but if it's 3 a.m. and you see this guy with like a dagger stumbling down the street, you know, his eyes wild, talking to himself, like he's,
which, by the way, is what a real socialist looks like.
right. Exactly. And then the guy kind of tried to like protect his bitch girlfriend.
Yeah, dude, and I'm sorry for saying it, but she was very, very mean about it after
she
died.
She really, yeah. And this,
there was
yeah.
no, there was no sense.
No, she
that
she
this
was
it for her, that this was a life-changing moment. You
No. This is the lesson here. The real lesson is not that guys won't get in danger because you know, women are too feminist or something like that. The real lesson is that you have to win the fight.
Yes.
Because if you don't win the fight, it's really cringe to your date. Like, the woman is going to be like, holy crap, this looks so low status. I have the ick now because I'm out here with this guy, and maybe, you know, he's a well-known socialist New York guy, but he just tripped over his shoelaces, fell into this bench, and got stabbed in the chest like 3 times. And now I look like I couldn't get a better date. And this is my Instagram story is going to be all fucked up. The timing about this is all wrong.
Yeah.
It's the greatest fear because you're dead. There's no coming back from it. But even if you survive, there's no coming back from it socially. It's like, why did you let that guy stab you in the chest?
Right.
And you're right that in the era before social media, these types of things could happen in a small audience and you know,
whatever. You know, sometimes you lose a fight and people still go, good on you, man, for protecting her. You did what you needed to do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen anymore.
Not, because
the video cuts.
Right. Right. Because you can see it. It's, you know, it's very bad, you know, and yeah, I think that's the real reason. And lighting yourself on fire is like getting stabbed by a crackhead in the sense that if you had any common sense, it would probably be avoidable. And you look stupid when it happens to you.
Yeah.
And you also don't get what you want out of the equation. Like if you're so upset about like the Air Force guy, Darren Burnell
or
something like that. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
But you know, the whole like Free Palestine thing, I'm going to light myself on fire.
Oh my God.
It doesn't make sense to me because
no,
you could just go to Palestine and the Israelis would light you on fire.
Yes. And you'd die like a man at least.
You could, that's the, yeah, this whole.
Die like a man.
Right. And one thing that I'm a big fan of about the Ukraine-Russia war, and this kind of carries over towards Israel-Palestine, is that there's nothing stopping anyone from becoming a combatant in these conflicts.
Yes.
Like there's no barrier to entry other than maybe like a $400 plane ticket, which you could probably 100%
go to Ukraine and you say, I want to fight with you guys. And they go, cool.
Yeah. It's a walk on war. Like everyone who has an extremely strong opinion about defending Ukraine has the option to go to Ukraine. And,
right.
And I'll be honest, if you do that, I don't think it's a good use of your energy, but good on you for doing it because at least you went and did it instead of like lighting yourself on fire in the United States. Like,
totally.
I feel like that's a very cornball thing to do because you're using 100% of like man's capacity for suffering to ask other men to take action for you. It's the ultimate like victim move because it's like, it's like a toddler saying, I'm going to hold my breath until you let me whatever play with the toy or, you know, something like that.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to light myself on fire so that fighting men actually go do fighting for something that I want them to fight for when in reality you could just go do that yourself.
Do you remember the old the axiom, not your personal army? Somebody went on 4chan, they would post, hey, this is my ex-girlfriend's phone number. 4chan, do what you do. And everybody would always post, not your personal army.
Sure.
And that is correct. And that is the belief that most people still have. Is not your personal army. I'm not going to fight your battles for you. But for some reason, some people are still convinced that this grand sacrificial cry for help works. And it doesn't. It gives people the ick and it's very ugly.
Yeah.
When I see the little shaking hand arise from the inferno, I think, yuck, is what I think.
No, it's very...
I'm a hero.
It's also... It's very, you know, it does a disservice to... you know, people who get killed, like, actually doing things, right? Like,
absolutely.
It's just such a corny way out.
It's a form of suicide, right? I mean, that's kind of obvious, it is.
Yeah.
And suicide is remarkably uncool, and people don't understand it.
It's remarkably uncool. And it's like a double form of suicide, because...
Yes. Die a thousand deaths.
Right. Like, not only are you, you know, literally ending your life through an act of suicide, but you are metaphorically ending your life by forfeiting your ability as a man to go fight for things. And like you said, the coward dies a thousand times, except now when you self-immolate, you're condensing all of those thousand deaths into like a 90-second window that's going to trend on Twitter for like 4 hours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is the true. So if somebody burned themselves alive So, I mean, or anything like this, like same thing with a hunger strike. If what you do actually works, that's very impressive. But the tightrope walk that one must walk in order to successfully pull off a form of suicidal self-sacrifice is not a battle a lot of people want to fight. They're not really ready for it. And a lot of these people who are doing it, you know, the unfortunate thing is they're severely mentally disturbed, a lot of them. This is the message that he wrote. My name is Max Azzarello, and I am an investigative researcher who has set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial in Manhattan. This extreme act of protest is to draw attention to an urgent and important discovery. We are the victims of a totalitarian con, and our own government, along with many allies, is about to hit us with an apocalyptic fascist world coup. This was his urgent and important discovery that he had to light himself on fire for.
Sure.
This is something I figured out when I was 11, is had to light himself on fire for.
Right. That's like a, you know, fascist coup, like Buddy, I Wish. You know, what is...
Right.
You know?
Right. Where is this fascist coup? I'll light somebody else on fire if that's coming.
Yeah. You know, it's very sad. This guy's like psychologically vulnerable to the internet, you know, which is, I'm only half joking when I say that broadcasting the news should be illegal. I'm only half joking.
I agree.
Because these are the outcomes that you get in another world.
I agree.
This guy could have been, probably not someone spectacular, but he could have been like, the regional sales leader for a vinyl siding company, because he obviously takes things that are not that important or not that shocking and then really applies himself to them.
Right.
And when you expose people to a 24/7, you know, stream of fake news that even if it were real would not really involve you at all. You know, you get these types of outcomes where you get guys who, you know, it's like, oh, the president, you know, in exile is in there on trial for not being 100% accurate on an accounting entry that he made in whatever, 2015 or something.
Right.
And this is the prelude to a fascist coup. And I'm going to light myself on fire and do the kicking chicken while some retard sells the video to like an OSINT account on Twitter
The most humiliating element of this is that someone has most certainly made an NFT out of your death.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They have soul trapped you like a spell in Magic the Gathering. They have soul trapped you.
Well, that's because
in a commodified form,
photography does steal your soul. I mean, they were right about
that's
this.
That's literally true.
It is true.
It's literally true.
This is, you know, one of the downsides of this conflict in Ukraine and Israel, for that matter, is that it's showing the entire world these horrific things that take place in every war. And almost everyone who is seeing this stuff has not earned their ticket to see that.
No, you're absolutely right. It used to have to be earned to see this kind of thing. Yeah,
and this is the thing. I really think one of the reasons why historically men come home from war and they don't talk about it is because it's full of 1,000 tiny indignities.
Yes.
And you don't
want to
do? You
just
want
to your wife about it.
Like I don't want to come home and tell, you know, my wife about the time that, you know, so-and-so gets killed and does a gay little, you know, death rattle or something like this.
You don't want your wife to get ick over your dead friend.
Yeah. And this is the thing, is that human conflict is full, like, and I mean this earnestly, it's full of these little moments. Like if you look at these videos of like, GoPros recording mortar shells falling onto like guys who are in like a muddy trench or something in Ukraine, right? Like these guys are looking at the camera, like begging whoever not to drop this bomb. You know, the person obviously drops the bomb, it falls on the guy and blows him up, or it blows up next to him and then he shoots himself in the head or something like this. People watching this haven't earned the right to see that firsthand. Mm-hmm. Like it's, mm-hmm. this is a part of human behavior that I think you should have to be there if you are yes. to see it. Like I think
you have to be brutalized with all the things that lead up to it in order to have the empathy to download that video into your mind properly.
But you can't, because you can't understand it otherwise no. in a meaningful sense. And this is a sport where there should be no spectators. Everyone in the arena should
You're
be in
so
the fight.
Right in calling it a sport, by the way. This is, it gives me sport reaction vibes. Like, right. Like you said, war, to view war is something that's earned. But when you don't have to earn anything to view it, it becomes a kind of sport. Right. And there are, sports fans can already be very insufferable about the way that, you know, these guys, who these marks, doesn't matter what the sport is, but they're basically marks. It's real to them type guys.
Yeah.
That is what there are, you know, basically NATO marks.
Well, this is like, you know how like guys like Dave Portnoy will allegedly
choke on one,
see one up close from a glory hole mm-hmm. in the greater Lexington area.
No, have a couple of dolphins in his contact book in his phone.
Right. But B, like you'll see Dave Portnoy say something like tweet to a million people about why like a 9-year-old is a failure because he missed a double play at like the Little League World Series or something.
Right.
And this is like a 50-year-old man who, mm-hmm. Has paid for 90 abortions and makes his living on like sports
wears
betting.
Wears an extra small shirt.
Right. And stands on his tippy toes in photographs so that he doesn't look, you know, as short as he is
yeah,
in reality.
He wears inserts in his Yeezys. Yeah.
Like this is what I mean. This is a man who has fundamentally rejected reality in a feminine way. Like in the way that a woman might wear too much makeup or use the angles on the selfie camera. This is a guy who fancies himself a competitor because he reviews 9-year-olds playing baseball, and then he stands mm-hmm. on his tippy toes when he's around athletes. And you know, my point is he should be killed.
In war, yeah. In a war zone, fighting for his country.
In a war that he signs up for or is pressed into service for, frankly, I don't care which.
Right. You're not talking about a random stochastic act of violence. You're saying he no, should be killed not. In the sense that he should be drafted into the military and made to fight on the front lines
until
at which point he succumbs to his injuries or the weather.
Because only in that act will he go from being an imperfect man to an imperfect man who is it right in the eyes of God.
This is the concept of jihad. Do you realize this?
I'm not against the concept of jihad.
No. I'm saying this is why they're winning.
Yeah, of course. They
still have this concept.
Yeah. It never went out of style. This is a social
technology.
It's
very stylish.
People think it's a form of extremism, but it's a social technology. Just like a four-way stop is a social technology.
It's a way to maintain strong men. Yeah, right.
Yeah, this imposes order. And
yes,
guys like Dave Portnoy have rejected order. They have rejected their obligations as men. And yet they still dabble in the simulacra of this by criticizing the way that 9-year-olds play baseball.
Yes. And, you know, Baudrillard wrote, the Iraq war is not happening.
Yeah,
it's all about people viewing the Iraq war on TV and their weird perceptions that come out of it. And Dave Portnoy is the Baudrillardian viewer.
Right.
He really
is. Of course. And
he's
so
that guy.
Not only like this is the type of people who have strong commentary opinions about the war in Ukraine or Israel or Gaza or Russia or whatever. And these are the people who say, oh man, I'm glad this 19-year-old kid who's begging for his life in a frozen, muddy foxhole while he watches a mortar shell come down on him, knowing that it's going to be played on, you know, Twitter for 20 million people to see.
And that would be my first thought. It's going on X.
Yeah. And
what's going on there?
This is something that should probably not be allowed, because it's mm-hmm. fundamentally erroneous to the human experience. It's an affront to the things that, you know, basically humans are capable of. It's mm-hmm. a real cheesy way out. Like do you ever, have you seen these videos going around of like, I don't know what sect it is, the Jewish people who have those weird light bulbs that
sure.
work over, you know what I mean? Where like,
yeah. Oh, I've seen the Shabbos lamp. Yes.
Yeah, where they're trying to cheat the rules of God.
Right.
On a technicality.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, wow, this would be a bad thing to do. And it's like, yeah, but do correct. You do this every day of your life?
Right. I like how you got to sneak them in at the end of the whole, just throw them in. People really do. And I understand why. I mean, we are in America. We are in a country that has been so bathed in insane Enlightenment values that we really do think, many of us really do think, not the listeners of this show. I think we've pilled them enough that they probably can do this. But you must remember, listeners of the show, no matter what stripe or creed you come from, what beliefs in personal freedom you believe people have, what rights they have, you must remember, most people are not like you. Most yeah. people are nothing like you. Most people are, I mean, really, I'm talking at least half of all humans. Maybe this country, the proportion is a little lower because we're better educated, but I don't know if we are. Most humans are extremely different. They are one-minded. They don't ask questions. They wouldn't even know how to frame a question that would get an answer worth thinking about. All right, so people, say what you will about the institution of paternalism, but there's something to be said about a guy in the military, guy formerly in the military, all of these guys telling you this is not something normal people should see. You gotta really, I really agree with you, Lee, in the sense that there is no current apparatus and possibly should be an apparatus that exists to prevent the ordinary person from knowing what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's dark out there and things are not going well.
No wonder nobody loves America. Nobody loves any of country really in the West. Nobody loves the country they're from anymore.
Right. We will. Right. I think a good indicator, we will know that things are back on the right track when people realize that comparatively, you know, setting yourself on fire is an irrational, effeminate, ineffective, unloving action.
Yeah.
That pales in comparison to the masculine noblesse oblige mm-hmm.
Of lighting other people on fire
or of taking a 135 grain 9mm hydro shock and putting it right square into the fucking head of a bottlenose dolphin
somewhere off the coast of Louisiana.
Whoever did that, there's a
that's masculine, that's selective very, breeding that's very, selective breeding
very real chance that's the next Caesar.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I really, no doubt, this is, and again, I'm a Christian man, but I look at Christian history, there was the Christian man of up to about 19, what year was Vatican II? Up to about whatever year Vatican II was, the average Christian man possessed within him a grand and historical violence, capacity for violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, like C.S. Lewis. Your average yeah. man needs to possess within him a capacity for extraordinary violence, and plenty of men in America do. But it isn't the right guys. It's not the right squad right. that we need. We really need, because you have the two, like you have this is street level. You know what I mean? This is like the people who are willing to be violent are like, it's like a local level situation. We need, this is why people like Donald Trump, there is within him the capacity for the iron hand.
Right. And there's an important distinction to understand between a violent culture and a martial culture, which is that there are plenty of violent cultures in the world. The Middle East, Africa, a lot of South America is full of violent cultures where there's plenty of unmitigated street crime. Human life is cheap, meaningless. You kill for no reason, petty disputes.
Right.
There's no sense of fraternity from man to man, which is very different from a martial culture, which institutionally does not flinch at the obligation to apply violence to maintain order or impose their will on an inferior people group, which is different. There's a very big difference between conquering and mugging. There's a spiritual difference there, that should also be understood.
Right. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, that is the hard truth, is that capacity has to exist within men, and it also has to be tempered. It actually has to be tempered by the good nature that Christian life brings.
Right.
And there is neither really for any guys left. They're both lacking a principled set of, basically like ways to be a normal human. And they're also lacking within them a violent rage that can transcend principle. And so we are kind of stuck in a phase where there's only an anti-will. You know, the violence is sort of anti-willing. It prevents the problems from being solved. So there is violence, but it's violence that compounds disaster.
You know,
it's not the kind of Judge Dredd violence that we imagine exists, which, you know, the truth is, Lee, between you and me, we're not ever going to, you know, the Knights of the Teutonic Order style. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think the phase is probably culturally has been erased, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not black-pilled about it. I mean, I think you're probably right, but this is...
Well, I wouldn't say I'm black-pilled necessarily, but I think this is what I think is the attempt to recreate the conditions for the old formula is impossible.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I think that, all historical scrutiny of like violent endeavors, it's an interesting topic. It's good to consider, but it's foolish to think that like those circumstances are going to present themselves again. They probably will not. Or if they do, there may be similar like war never changes, right? Like the fundamental concept does not change.
Right.
But the events that precipitate like the French Revolution versus the American Revolution, are different versus like the Napoleonic Wars. These are all the circumstances that surround the conflict. Whereas the conflict itself is timeless, the circumstances are different, and they are unlikely to reappear as a facsimile.
Yeah.
But I think, moreover, you do not have an obligation to wait for that indicator, right?
You need to be fighting petty conflicts in South America now.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
Or podcasting.
At a bare minimum, yeah.
Yeah. You need to be at either podcasting or you need to be creating news for podcasters.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. We need a guy down there. We really do. I have polled the audience. Nobody's interested. We really need a guy down there who's living it every day.
We need a guy. Are we actually sure that Carcambit did not expatriate to El Salvador?
No, we're not sure. We're really not sure. And that is a, that was a distinct possibility.
Yeah.
And again, like his Hessian forefathers, it wouldn't be surprising if he was going to go down there and, you know, crack some heads.
It's a little suspicious that shortly after Nayib Bukele makes a Twitter post saying that he's accepting 5,000 people tax-free who can contribute to the El Salvadoran Bitcoin economy, that Carr Campit suddenly takes AWOL. A mysterious trip to South America.
Yep. That's what I've said. That's what I've said.
Yeah.
Nobody will really truly know, but it's something worth thinking about for sure. And I think the pursuit should be for many people that if you have an emptiness in your life, if you feel like in your life, there's something that needs to be filled, something that as a man is missing, smoke a cigarette. And if that doesn't fix the way you feel, you need to be flying to a violent place and fighting on behalf of the most violent guy there.
That's true. That's true. The hole in your heart, if you're a guy in your late teens, early 20s listening to this, the hole in your heart is for war. It just is. I'm just saying.
Or cigarettes.
Or smoking during a war. Cigarettes during a war.
At the very least, you need more excitement.
You got to have it. I have fought in a war.
Right.
I have smoked cigarettes while fighting in a war.
Right.
And you got to get that out of your system or else you're not going to be able to think straight once you're older than 25.
Democrat. Right.
Yeah. It's 100%. It's way more likely than you think.
Right. It's a hard truth because, you know, I'm not a guy who fought in a war. I'm not made for that. Italians don't fight in wars anymore. That's not what I do. And, you know, but I'm just here thankful for the soldiers. I'm thankful for the warrior class. I thank them every day. Truly. Truly, truly. Wow. Well, that was profound, I have to say. There was an exploration there into the psyche, I think, was very good. One final topic, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
How are we feeling about the 100% Cybertruck recall?
This is unsurprising, to say the least. Mm-hmm. I hate to, on one hand, throw shade at postmodernism earlier in the episode and then circle back now. But I don't think it's possible to have an electronic truck. I think a truck requires a powerful internal combustion engine. I think that's fundamentally one of the things that defines the essence of a truck.
Yes.
It's like the philosophical concept of like, how do you define a chair?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got to have certain characteristics and it's a sum of its individual parts. A truck falls into that category. The Cybertruck may have whatever. It's got armored side plating and shit like that. And that's fine. Some trucks can have armor, but it's not a defining characteristic. But I think a defining characteristic is an internal combustion engine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for a truck to really be a truck, it's got to be at least a V6, probably V8, mm-hmm. maybe diesel. It should probably have cloth seats. It should have crank windows. It should have a stick shift coming out of the floor.
Well, and it shouldn't have been designed by...
No, it should not have been designed
that
by
guy.
Right, a guy with autism. And I like Elon Musk. I'm pro Elon Musk, even though
me too.
Twitter is kind of a shithole after the whole algorithm change to the engagement thing.
I'm getting pussy in bio under every tweet, which I've never in my posting history before have I ever gotten pussy in bio tweets.
That's very annoying.
I'm getting them.
He's got to fix that. And this is the thing is that Elon Musk is probably good at building rockets. However, it's a different type of guy who builds cool off-road pickup trucks versus rockets.
Sure.
I think both things are cool.
Yes. Yes.
But it's not the same guy who does those jobs. It's just not.
Yep. No, it's some Poindexter. That's exactly right. It's the Cybertruck looks like it was designed by a guy who designs rockets.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing. That's a very bad, ugly, aesthetically ridiculous thing.
Yeah, it looks like it was designed by a guy who has never, I don't know, driven a truck through mud, up a hill, on sand, anything like that. Like, I think to be on the design team of a truck, you should have had to get a truck unstuck from like a fucking mud hole or beach sand or something like that before.
That's the challenge that you have to go through to get the license. Yeah.
If you can't change your own oil, if you can't self-recover your vehicle, if you've never lit a cigarette off of a 12-volt cigarette mm-hmm. lighter,
you never looked into the eyes of a dolphin while pressing the end of a gun up against its head.
You have no business designing a truck. Those are the rules, man. I'm sorry that's
you're right.
How it is, but that's how it is.
I don't think you told a lie on the whole program.
I could not design a rocket. I could not design a rocket. I feel like I could design a pretty good truck. I'm not the rocket guy. Elon Musk is not the truck guy.
No.
That's just the thing. Like, this is a truck for people who send marketing emails.
This is a truck for a guy who moved to Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. It quite literally is. Yeah. Like, it's, it is the gayest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. It is the falling gay one you die of vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, you would not see, like, this is not a car that you would see in, like, Bullet or, like, Escape from New York, something like that. Like, this is, you know what I mean? Like,
no. Steve would be totally ridiculous. It would take you completely out of it.
Yeah, Steve McQueen never would have jumped into a fucking Cybertruck.
No way.
It wouldn't have.
Not a chance. You're so right. You're completely right. Jeez. Well, that is just a mere three topics of the many different things that have happened this week. It was a shocking week overall. I have so much news that I have to save some for more episodes going forward, more content going forward. There's a lot to talk about. We have a lot of bird news. We've released the phone number. People are now leaving voicemails for the main
host.
That's
exciting.
It's something. So we've got a ton of news to talk about. Both we have current and former presidents, a lot of current and former president news. I don't know if you saw Joe Biden in the past week. I think this is it. I think this is one of the final weeks of the man's life. He's really fallen apart hard. I mean, in ways I haven't seen before. The other guy is currently on trial, and he's calling women dykes in the courtroom, and it's amazing what's going on there. So there's a lot to talk about, a lot of news. Bear with us here on TLE. We're getting our bearings back together. One of our co-hosts has taken an RV trip. It was just my birthday. I've got things to go and do. We're busy people, but we're going to come back strong. Lee, thank you so much for joining me on this fine and fantastic episode of TLE. Yeah,
thank you.
I'd love to have you on Into the Cave to talk about some particular topics very soon.
Sure.
We want to give a Loser of the Week award out. We used to call this King of the Week, but it's for a woman. So we're going to do Queen of the Week. Tiffany Gomez, Queen of the Week. Not a good award, a bad award. There's nothing more to say than when you are taking bikini pics of yourself in a Stars and Stripes bikini while holding an ultra-right beer, that it has never been more over for you. And so we'd like to give that award to Tiffany Gomez of airplane incident fame. Really, this is what has ended up of one of our airplane incident people. So that really is the monkey's paw. And so we're going to put her to bed now for good. So Lee, thank you for joining me. I'll say it, listeners, keep two hands on the wheel.